Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, we will continue our ongoing conversation on the emerging markets as we will spend some time spotlighting the latest flagship publication from the CIO EM team, Investing in Emerging Markets, a Supportive Fed Easing at Last. Joining me here in our 1285 podcast studio for the conversation, glad to welcome back one of the publication's lead authors, Alejo Zarwanco, the Chief Investment Officer for Emerging Markets Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office. Alejo, a pleasure as always to have you here in studio. Welcome back.
Thank you, Dan. It's always better to do it in person. I'm so happy to be here.
Absolutely. So, Alejo, let's dive right into the publication and bring our listeners up to speed on the current thinking from your team here at the Chief Investment Office. So, what exactly does the Fed easing cycle mean for emerging markets?
Totally. Let's maybe take a pause and recognize that we've been talking about this first Fed rate cut for a very long period of time, right? The Fed had been on hold at roughly 5.5% policy rate for over a year, and at last, we've got a cut. And it hasn't been a minor cut, it's been a 50 basis point cut, larger than many expected. Not only that, but the Fed and its voting members of Monetary Policy Committee have been signaling that more cuts are coming, and they might not be small cuts, right? And so what we're seeing, Dan, is an easing of financial conditions, more availability of capital. And historically, this translates into an easier life for the emerging world. Why is that? When the Fed hikes interest rates, this really sucks up a lot of capital from the periphery, the emerging markets, and brings it into the core. To illustrate, you know, it's easy to just put your money in a U.S. money market account at 5.5% and, you know, just wait it out. Now that interest rates are going down, this has the potential to push out capital from the core back into the periphery. And so, once again, looking at history, easing cycles by the Fed have been supportive of emerging market assets. We think the conditions are in place for this reality to be in place today. When you look at the universe of emerging market assets, the best risk return that we find has to do with dollar-denominated emerging market bonds, a very well-diversified asset class with a solid 20-25-year track record of good risk-adjusted returns that is enjoying this additional tailwind.
So, Alejo, it's interesting within emerging markets, if you look at Latin America in particular, has been enjoying several tailwinds. Has it been able to capitalize on them?
Yeah, as you describe, first off, now Latin America, among other emerging markets, are enjoying easier financial conditions thanks to the Fed. But we have been arguing for some time that Latin America specifically has been a relative beneficiary of the evolving world order. In our conversations in the past, Dan, we discussed that, you know, we are in a world of seemingly endless geopolitical turmoil. Latin America is a peaceful place. So on a relative basis, not that much of a problem, maybe a magnet to some types of investments. In addition, the region has enough human capital and infrastructure to make some of its countries attractive near-shoring, ally-shoring, friend-shoring destinations. We discussed in the past, Dan, how global supply chains are being redesigned, and Latin America, of course, could benefit. Finally, I'd say Latin America enjoys an abundance of natural resources, many of which carry higher geoeconomic importance than in the past. A good example is lithium, some of the biggest reservoirs or lithium are in Latin America. Now, the external headwind, the external opportunity, tailwinds are there. The question is Latin America taking advantage of this? And the answer, unfortunately, so far is not as much. Latin America is being quite slow to hold on to this favorable backdrop. Look, here's what they're doing right. Monetary policy. It's the bright star in the region. We've got professional independent central banks that have done very well managing the recent global inflation spike, hiking interest rates ahead of the developed world, cutting interest rates ahead of the developed world, and staying clear of political pressures that will always exist. However, fiscal dynamics, which arguably is Latin America's perennial Achilles heel, are reemerging, these fiscal dynamics, right? In countries like Mexico, in countries like Brazil, Colombia, and even some historically more responsible countries like Peru. Maybe most concerning, Dan, is that in Latin America, there's almost no attempt to reform in a way that enhances the productivity of the economies, right? Maybe Argentina is one exception, but every other major country in the region is not reforming. And those that are reforming, they're doing it in a way that they're actually scaring off investors, international investors, mm-hmm. domestic investors. Think of Mexico's recent legal reform. Look, in this context, putting it all in, Latin America will grow at an inspiring pace mm-hmm. this year and next. Roughly 1.5% this year, maybe 2.5% next year. This is not enough, right? Of course, not all countries are created equal, but to answer your question, Dan, I think the opportunity is still there. It's not going to go away overnight. But Latin America is not making great efforts to harness it.
So as you just put it, Alejo, of course, not all countries are created equal. Would you mind sharing for us some highlights across major Latin American markets?
Let's do it. Let's go through, the largest economies in turn, starting with Brazil, largest economy in the region. Growth is strong. The agricultural sector is in good part responsible for this pretty good performance, but political risks surrounding fiscal accounts are very high. This is, again, a perennial issue for Brazil, but it's rearing its ugly head again in 2020, 2024, and the administration of Lula da Silva. Mm-hmm. And so, investors are on the sidelines waiting to see, will the country get its act together from a fiscal perspective? And this is, I think, a missed opportunity. Mexico, as I briefly described, it's going through a number of institutional changes that are controversial. The government-controlled Congress approved a reform this September, this month, that will likely lead to a more politicized judiciary system. This will have an economic impact. Nobody knows exactly to what extent, the degree of this impact. Much will depend on how it's implemented under the presidency of President-elect Claudia Sheinbaum, who will take office in just a few days. Now, there are mediating factors. Mexico is very close to the United States and therefore, must historically has listened to what the U.S. has to say. The nearshoring trends, that is an opportunity that I don't think Claudia Sheinbaum will want to miss. Financial markets might act as, in a way, discipline to some of the initiatives. But look, it's not the most adequate way to take advantage of the external opportunities to do things that maybe scare a lot of investors off. Let me highlight maybe a story in the other direction. Argentina, maybe a positive reform story. I had the opportunity to join President Milei at the New York Stock Exchange on Monday, where he rang the opening bell, and he was, in the cover of the Wall Street Journal, because I think he is changing the economic structure of the country for the better, and this is reducing macroeconomic imbalances in the country. I'll stop there. In the publication, Dan, we cover in detail the outlook for Colombia, for Peru, for Chile, for Panama, the challenges that are taking place in Venezuela as we speak.
So there's a lot else our listeners can read about. Again, I will point them to the publication. Alejo has been making reference to investing in emerging markets, a supportive Fed easing at last, to read about some additional countries. Now, Alejo, as we begin to wrap up our conversation for today, maybe we can do so by citing some investment implications. What should our listeners be focusing on right now?
Absolutely. As I highlighted earlier, the emerging market asset class universe should experience a boost from an easier Fed. Specifically, we think the best risk reward is in dollar-denominated emerging market bonds. Within Latin America, that we focused on quite a bit today, I would say that also from an investment perspective, whenever there's political uncertainty, there's also opportunity because risk premia is elevated across a number of Latin American asset classes and not always justified by fundamentals, at least in our views, so investors can act upon this reality. Let me give you concrete examples. In the dollar bond space, we think a number of Argentina bonds are appealing as our baseline scenario of no default is not fully priced in. Some Brazilian and Colombian bonds are also appealing. There's plenty of opportunities in the corporate bond space in the region. Good number of large corporations with global scale and industry leadership. We like, for instance, industrial and agricultural commodity producers, telecommunication companies, systemically important financial institutions, regional development banks, among others. It's a very nice area to scout for fixed income opportunities. As you know, Dan, at CIO, we have a somewhat weaker dollar view in coming months, and Latin American currencies could see some modest gains from current levels. Finally, in equities, Latin American stocks are trading at an attractive valuation multiple. Now, a strategic allocation to the region's stocks is justified, in part because of how cheap they are. But investors, given the challenges described, they will need to be patient to see equity market value being unlocked.
So quite a few considerations when it comes to positioning for our listeners to keep in mind. Alejo, this was great. Thank you very much for dropping by the studio here and keeping our listeners and clients informed on the latest thinking from the Chief Investment Office as it relates to the emerging markets. A pleasure as always.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. And again, I will plug the Investing in Emerging Markets flagship publication, which Alejo has been making reference to during our conversation today. A Supportive Fed Easing at Last is the title. For UBS clients, please be sure to reach out to your UBS financial advisor to receive a copy directly. The publication can also now be located up on UBS.com/CIO. From UBS Studios, I'm Dan Cassidy. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit UBS.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit UBS.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.